weird thing for non-believers. It's weird. It's very weird. It's very awkward. Agnostics, non-believers, even moral Christians, who I basically was one, that I went to Christmas and Easter service every year because that was just the way we did things traditionally, and didn't have any idea who Jesus Christ was. But, it was just a weird thing. So Christmas is a real easy thing. You walk in as a non-believer. You know, Jesus, the beautiful message of Christmas and all the lights and all the food and all the things is a great thing. But worshiping Jesus is not a concept that non-believers get into. And I want you to know that because I was one of those non-believers. Now, most of us here at one time have been maybe Christians at a very, very early age in their life. So as you grow up, you learn what it means to worship and praise God, but for an outsider, it is weird. It is strange to worship God. Now, I had this one beautiful girl at high school that wanted to evangelize me, and that's not a good thing to do, because what happens, they fall in love with you. So I was still my pagan ways, and I was trying to impress this girl, and I remember her taking me to a worship setting where people were lifting their hands and praising God and worshiping God, and I'm sitting there thinking, what's with these people? This is weird. You know, I worship, I praise. I even faked an altar call to impress the girl. I went down and sat there thinking I'm doing the right thing, and you know, and then suddenly it got really weird. They laid hands on me, started praying with me, and I did everything I can to stay there because I was about to book. But it's a weird concept. And worship and praise, those are words that just don't normally fall on the lips of people. And today we're going to be looking at worship and praise in a way that I think that God wants us to see, especially when it comes from the Old Testament. And praise and worship is about thanksgiving, thanking God, and understand that. So what we do is we have some really amazing texts here that kind of gives us an insight to that. So we heard it from Psalm 100. I think so many of us have read and heard that song. As you know, it is a song. I'm looking forward to the day that when we get to heaven, we can actually hear the melody that they used back in those days with this song. It's going to be something amazing. But in it, it provides us with a sort of an understanding of what worship and praise is. It also gives us an image of what it means to go into the presence of God, the temple of God. So make a joyful noise to the world, to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. We do that. We love singing. Singing is a gift that humans have. We're the ones that can appreciate it. We're the ones that, with God's help, put together beautiful lyrics and melodies. And it's something that God uses in our lives to be able to acknowledge his presence and his goodness. Know that the Lord, he is God. Okay, Lord God, he is the one who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. People knew what that meant back in those days, what sheep. Sheep are very needy people, and we needed someone to guide us, to take care of us. Then he goes into sort of a temple setting right here. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. The word thanksgiving or thanks in the Hebrew word is a very difficult word in the Hebrew, okay? And so there are a couple references to two words that come out throughout the Old Testament in the very beginning, and the words literally has to do with this. And let me share with you. One is yada, and the other one, well, I won't even go into that. So enter his gates with thanksgiving, and the word here means basically an extension of the hand. That's what that phrase means, an extension of the hand. That's how it was translated. And what happens is, you could see the extension of the hand is a way to reach out to God and to acknowledge his presence, okay? And you praise and you acknowledge his presence by reaching out to God. And the other word the same way. It's hold out the hand. It's a way to understand thanksgiving, praise and worship. And it actually means, and they translate it this way, is that when you worship and you praise God, you are thanking God. It's a process of thanksgiving. And we see this actually with the symbols that they were trying to provide us, this scene. of coming into the temple or coming into the tabernacle. And just like the worship service, there's a lot of things that we use right here, the symbols right here, that has a connection to the temple and the tabernacle. Within the temple and the tabernacle, there are all these wonderful symbols. These symbols are very, very important. In the tabernacle, I mean, we knew that God gave us the covenant of the Ark, Ark of the Covenant. That was his living presence. That was his very awesome living presence. And when you get close to it, when you come into that area, there's this beautiful sense that now you're into the presence of God. And they have all these other things, the bronze altar, they have the burnt offerings, they have the brass place, where the washer, they had a table of showbread, golden lamp. All those things were a way, when people walk in there, they're able to feel and see the presence of God. Well, as you know, the Ark of the Covenant was lost. It was gone. Now, the temple itself has another way to represent God. Before it was the Ark of the Covenant, now it's the Torah. The Torah is the Word of God. It is the living presence of God, and they put that in the temples, in temples. That becomes a symbol of God's living presence, and they have other things around that temple to remind us of God's presence. That's what we're doing here this morning. Jesus Christ made it very, very clear. This is another means of grace. All these beautiful symbols remind us that we're in God's presence. We're always in God's presence. There's no doubt about it. And it's not we inviting God in our presence. God is always in our presence, and he's inviting us to connect with him and to observe and to see that reality. The beautiful thing about a worship setting is that there's so many things throughout the week that can pull you away from knowing that you're in God's presence. Those things pull you away. But the neat thing is God has this wonderful date, this opportunity for us to come together, and we come in, we're singing, and these symbols and the words, Jesus Christ reminds us that we're in the living presence. And here, the table, we believe it's a means of grace. It's another way of God extending his presence to us, that God is here. Jesus Christ is not just a historical figure, but also he's a living presence. And this is a reminder of God's realness in our lives. So we get to the point where we understand that praise and worship is about thanking God. And the theme, what I'm doing this morning, the theme is when we have a heart and attitude of thanksgiving, then we are worshiping and praising God. Praise and worship starts with thanksgiving. In fact, even in Psalms 100, it makes it very clear, okay, here it is. When you enter the gates with thanksgiving, meaning that when you have an attitude and a heart of thanksgiving, when you have this beautiful awareness of God's goodness and you're thanking God, then we find ourselves going into the courts of praise. Now we have this beautiful liberty, this beautiful awareness, because our attitude, our heart has this wonderful recognition and understanding of thanking God, and now we're praising God. So to a non-believer, worship and praise is awkward, okay? But many, many non-believers know what it means to thank God, okay? And they do it differently. Do we have any golfers that enjoys watching golf tournaments and things on the TV? I know Lonnie is. Only one of you? Okay, so when there's a great shot, when there is a ball that ricochets off a tree, when something happens, the first thing you hear from the announcers are, we can thank the what? Golf gods. They say it so many times. So they're thanking. The other thing is what we have is that many of us, some of us, but lots of people, when things are good in our lives, or we miss being killed, we just miss the accident, and we go back, we go around, and we always, a lot of us say, well, that was sure lucky. So we thank the fates, and we say, that was lucky. Wow, it was lucky that I was able to get this great grade on my paper. We use that image of thanking luck and the fates with that. So there is a sense of thanking something out there. With Christians, we thank a living God. And without an attitude and without a heart of thanksgiving, it's very, very, very difficult to praise God. Very difficult to praise God. In fact, Jesus made it very clear when he was asked about worship. He basically, I'm going to back up just a little bit. So having a heart, having an attitude gives you the opportunity to appreciate what is in front of you, especially when it comes to worshiping God. Now, you got to have the heart and you got to have the attitude. If you don't have it, something has to happen to your heart in order for you to be able to appreciate and thank God. And God does something to help us to have that type of attitude. Now, I do not like the Yankees. I despise the Yankees. Okay. Yeah, but it's entertainment. But you could put me in a Yankee uniform, you could give me a Yankee flag, you can have me even try to sing Yankee tune, and I could fake it, but my heart and my attitude is they stink. Okay? Another situation, again, just going to help you, that the heart and attitude is so, so important when it comes to the idea of thanking something or thanking God. Now, has anybody ever read or saw the movie Les Miserables musical? Okay. Well, no matter if you put me in a costume, even teach me to sing a couple songs, I will never like that movie. I love the story, but Hugh Jackman singing, I just couldn't handle it. So unless my attitude, my heart changes, I'm never going to watch that movie again or that musical. Again, my point, something has to happen right here in a heart. Something has to change in a non-believer's heart to really know how to appreciate and thank God and to worship God. It has to be a heart of thanksgiving. And Jesus said it very clearly, that the way that we worship is that, and Scripture makes it very clear, that John says that we have to worship in spirit and in truth, okay? And that means something is very clear, that first of all, something has to happen spiritually to us, that we have to be a part of God's kingdom. We have to be connected with the Holy Spirit. There has to be a change in our heart and our minds that comes when we give our life to Jesus Christ. Suddenly we have a greater awareness of God's presence. With that, we start to see God in so many parts of our life. And that is so important with the change of our heart. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Truth is Jesus Christ. Truth is that we praise and worship God with authentic, with integrity. And the only way that we can worship is that we have to have the Spirit of God in us. Outside of that, worship and praising is going to look very, very weird. Even for Christians that have come to church for the longest times, or mostly maybe moral Christians, but even they struggle what it means to worship a living God. So God gives us this beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit. It gives us awareness of his presence. It puts us in a position where we start to thank God. And here are so many of the ways that we can thank God. First of all, he saved and redeemed me. I'm a sinner. I'm evil. I'm bad. God saved me and redeemed me to come back in a right relationship with God. I thank God for that. God chose me to be his son or daughter, and I've been given the privilege to call God Father, which is a very wonderful dynamic and concept that's out of this world. He also has given me I'm a part of his kingdom. There's two kingdoms going on. There's the outside kingdom, but I'm a part of this great kingdom to see God's work. And every day I'm amazed at how God uses this kingdom to influence the world. And thank God for the church, the family of believers. That I have a family that I can connect with. We have a common denominator. And when I get together here, no matter how far away that I live, No matter where I go, when I connect with a brother and sister in Christ, there is connection. There is fellowship. There is even koinonia fellowship, something common. I thank God for that. I thank God for his continued grace into my life. Every day, God pours out our grace, his grace in our lives. And many times we take that for granted. We truly have to see God's work in our life. Especially we thank God for his mercy. Oh goodness, our flesh wants to respond in so many different ways. And we fail. But God is so merciful. He is so merciful for us. I thank God for my family, for my spouse. I never deserved her. And there's no way she was going to choose me when I was a pagan or a non-Christian. But I thank God that was God brought this person in my life. My children, oh my goodness, grandchildren, I thank God for that. There's a lot of people don't have that opportunity to have such a right relationship because the relationships are so broken. For work, I believe work is worship. When I'm working and responding to God's call, I'm doing what God wants me to do, and I feel like I truly believe I'm worshiping God. Talents, beauty of God's creation. The other night, did you see the Northern Lights? That was crazy. I thank God for Brian at 11 o'clock at night. He went ahead and texted me. I got out there, and I'm out there, got away from the city. And for an hour, I'm just, you know, it's been so long for me to see the Northern Lights. I used to see them in Anchorage. But wow, I thank God for the sunrise. So the attitude of thanksgiving, the heart of thanksgiving, puts us in a position where we're worshiping and praising God.
Friend and family of Jesus, sir.
Okay, he wants to sit next behind me. Okay. And Brian's going to come up and sit next to you also. So, friend of Jesus, a family of God. So what I want to do is I want to look at the fact that God wants us to know that when we worship God through thanksgiving and praise God through thanksgiving, that we are worshiping his living presence. So this morning's theme is this: when we have a heart and attitude of thanksgiving, then we are worshiping and praising God. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we do. We thank you so much that you chose us to be your children. You redeemed us. You saved us from our sins. You've given us family and life and grace and mercy, and help us to never, ever overlook the opportunity to thank you. And now, God, we thank you for this table here, this table who represents your Son, Jesus Christ, that the bread and the cup is a representation of his blood and his body that was given up for us so that we can have a new relationship with you. We thank you so much for the fact that your Son rose from the dead, the culmination of everything he did, so that we can have this amazing relationship with you, that we can call you Father, and you're with us all the time. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
I'll go ahead and have the elders come up. Okay.
Oh, that's great. Don't you, Dad? Got communion going on. Sharing with you my life.
Well, sir, can I address the congregation real quick?
No, you can sit down.
Okay, well, I'll address it at the door. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. It's all right. I always believe that God's in control. Always. His timing is perfect, and we just flex. So, this table right here represents our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These symbols are amazing. Yes, it's bread, and yes, it's just plain grape juice, but they represent the living presence of God in our lives, and we thank God for that. That night, Jesus Christ took the bread and broke it and said, "This body, this bread represents my body. Eat this in remembrance of me." And likewise, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of redemption." This beautiful cup that
that I am the symbol of redemption. And what? Me pouring out my blood, giving my life, you have a new relationship with your Father in heaven. Let's take a time of preparing our hearts as we receive the children. Sweet, I love it. So let's just give me a word of thanksgiving. Father God, Father, we do. We pray or prepare our hearts. We thank you for the symbol. Father, if there's anything that's keeping us from taking these elements, Father, we know that you're gracious and merciful, God. We can lay whatever it is at your feet and allow your process of your beautiful process of mercy and grace change and transform our life, especially in those areas. We thank you for that. So what we're going to do is we're going to have form two lines, and you're going to come down, and both of my elders